Welcome back to the Witchcrafty Wellness Podcast, where we explore the mystical in the mundane. Today we're joined by Andy, a wildcrafter and herbal alchemist who infused their work with a deep emotional bond with the natural world. Andy, it's so great to have you here.
It's so great to be here.
Awesome. Can you start by sharing how your spiritual journey intertwines with your work as a wildcrafting herbal alchemist?
Yeah, diving right in.
Yep, right from the start.
So to me, it's really all connected. So my spiritual journey and my work as a wildcraft herbal alchemist is in a lot of ways the same thing, or the same journey. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the term pantheism?
No.
Okay, so it's a term that's been introduced to me quite recently, so I don't know a ton about it, but I really resonated with the definition when I was taught it. But it's basically the idea that God, or whatever you want to call it, source, creator, etc., higher power, but God didn't create the universe, but God is the universe. So it's that connection to divinity within every single particle, within every single moment of being, of experience, of time. It's just, there's divinity, there's God just embedded within all of that, within every cell in our human body, within all the plant cells, and in a larger context as well, within the universe, within the galaxy. So that relationship of the microcosm reflecting the macrocosm and vice versa. And that's a very alchemical concept as well, as above, so below. So that feels like my spiritual experience and the way that I express my spirituality just happens within each moment that I live, because it's that connection to God, to source in all of it. And that feels way more potent and way more amplified when I'm in nature. And I think a lot of people feel that deeper connection to source and divinity in nature. It's so much more obvious, I think, than our day-to-day. Not that it doesn't exist in the day-to-day, but it's like, it's really there. You know, you can't be in a beautiful landscape or like on top of a mountain and not feel some sort of holiness to the land, right? So when I'm out wildcrafting, that feels like almost a ceremonial experience to be out foraging and connecting with the divinity of the land, and knowing that I'm going to be able to use those plants to support the healing of both myself and others. And the act of it is healing already because I'm out in nature. So it's just all really interwoven.
Yeah, I feel like nature is incredibly inspiring.
Yes.
It's inspiring to be in its presence. And, yes. And when you say that it's connected to, you know, creator, source, God, it really truly feels that way. And I feel like anyone who is, you know, feeling sick or, you know, like going through it in life, that connection to nature, that like stepping outside of like the humdrum, especially in the city, and going for a walk out in the mountains or even on a trail, really brings you back to yourself.
Yeah. It gets you out of the mind and more into the body a little bit, and just into that present moment of experience. And nature is the greatest artist that there ever was, right? So of course that's going to inspire some of our own creativity.
Definitely. One of the things, I was just actually mentioning this to a friend of mine yesterday. When I go out into the forest, I feel like I want to write poetry all the time. Like all of my poems have a very similar theme. They're all about some aspect of nature. And it's cool, because it's so, it just envelops you. So yeah. I 100% understand what you're saying. And I feel like anyone who has even just like a tiny little connection to nature there will feel the same way. Definitely.
Yeah. And it's just, I'm like, the way you just phrased that, like anyone who has a tiny connection with nature, like that's such an interesting sentence, because it's like, well, don't we all?
Totally.
Shouldn't we all?
shouldn't feel. That's like, the real.
Not to shit on anyone, but like,
yeah.
I mean, that's our birthright. Like, we are human, we are animals, we are part of this landscape, we are part of this ecosystem. It's truly wild that we don't all have that connection in our day-to-day lives. Like, we often have to seek it out, or we have to have someone tell us, like, oh, maybe you should go try connecting with nature, maybe you should do forest bathing, or like nature ecotherapy, or whatever.
Grounding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, why, like, what? That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you, but it's interesting how withdrawn we've become.
Yeah.
Which I feel like leads me into my next question. Mm-hmm. So how does spirituality really guide your herbal practices, and how does it kind of affect the properties of the plants that you work with?
Yeah, so all of the plants have their own specific energies. So of course, in the medicinal context, like, they'll have affinities for different bodies or body parts or organ systems, or different herbal actions. So that's the more like physical, pharmaceutical, biopharmaceutical realm of it. But in that, all illness and disease has an energetic component or a spiritual link. Those things that the plants are able to do, that creates an energy behind it as well. Mm. Right. So yarrow is one of my favorite herbs, my favorite herbal allies. Anyone who knows me knows how much I love yarrow.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like I'm always talking about yarrow.
I might have heard it once or twice. Yeah.
But yarrow, on the physical realm, is an incredible vulnerary herb. So it's a wound healer. So if you apply it topically, in a salve or as an oil, infused oil, it's going to be really good at healing any cuts, burns, scrapes, scars, things like that. And it's also a really great first aid medicine because it is a plant that does grow quite abundantly around here. It's quite easy to identify as well. So if you ever get scraped while you're on a hike or in the woods and you just need to find some yarrow, chew it up in your mouth and make like a first aid wild-crafted band-aid to paste it on, and it's one of the best blood clotters, so it stops your bleeding. So that's what yarrow does in the physical realm, but in the energetic and more spiritual side of things, when you think about wound healing and those actions of protection and creating a barrier, right? Mm-hmm. Yarrow is one of the best herbs to take to help build boundaries. So if you have leaky boundaries with yourself or with others, you know, if you're in a people-pleasing space or whatever it is, then yarrow is so beneficial to that. And just that link between the physical action and the spiritual use of it, like, that feels so powerful to me. So I guess, to answer your question more clearly, I feel like the spirituality guides my plant practice because I'm always looking at the energetic or the spiritual, not so much cause, but just that layer underneath the physical symptoms, and seeing how the plants can address those energetic and spiritual things as well as the physical symptom, and sort of weaving the two together.
I feel like it's so awesome that you're bringing this up because most people that I have been in contact with, mm-hmm. you know, we go to a doctor for medicine, and mm-hmm. more often than not, it is very much a let's try and see what we can do about the physical symptoms, and there isn't a lot of conversation around, you know, how can we support you as a whole? The holistic side of things, like what's actually mm-hmm. going on energetically, what's going on with your, you know, like, what are you eating, how much time are you spending in nature?
Yeah.
And I feel like all of these things are really, really integral. So it's really beautiful to me that you're already doing this work and that you're sharing mm-hmm. with people and that there's a market for it, that people are wanting and seeking this stuff out, I think, more and more each day.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's something like 80% of all disease is caused by stress. And that's the current going stat, right? So like that could change. Like I think it's probably even more than that, but that's what Western science is saying, 80%, which is still a lot.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know, when we think about stress, like that's linked to the emotions, which is immediately linked to our spirituality. I feel like spirituality and our spiritual mental state and health is very linked together. So, yeah.
100%. I know that your expertise extends to astrology as well.
Mm-hmm.
How does astrology play a role in what you do?
Yeah, so I love working with astrology in the context of the plants, because that really grounds the story. Mm-hmm. I feel like so much of our life and how we navigate through the world is through stories. And astrology creates these stories of the plants that we can use as a tool to link that to our bodies or our spirituality. So, for example, one of my favorite ways to talk about the plants in astrology and how it's all really connected is through Mars and nettles, or stinging nettles. Now, I'll also just preface this by saying that not everything is so like perfectly organized as this example, and that's why this is my favorite example, because it's like really neat and perfectly sealed. But I think that any time that humans try to categorize and like put nature into a box and be like, you represent this pattern and that represents this behavior, like, you know, the more we do that, the more outliers we find, because, you know, nature is just a wild beast.
It's unpredictable.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And like our humans just like want to control and organize things.
Yeah.
But that being said, there are still patterns that definitely exist. So Mars is the archetype of the warrior, also the knight or the soldier. And when we think about that role, like what do knights do? What do soldiers do? Well, they're defending and protecting the queen or the fortress or the empire, the country, right? So they're going off to war in defense. And if we were to take that story and apply it to our bodies, then Mars is like our immune system. It's that defense, that immune response, specifically that inflammatory response, to protect our bodies being the fortress, from any invaders or pathogens or anything like that. And one of the most common immune inflammatory responses that a lot of people experience around the same time of year is spring allergies or hay fever. And that, you know, that happens around April. And like, just plants are just so intelligent, and the way that we've even evolved with plants, right, is so beautiful. Because stinging nettles, I would call a Martian plant. So the way that nettles are, the affinity that it has for the body, even the way that it looks and feels, is very Martian in quality. So stinging, because it has little hairs that sting you, that actually release formic acid into the skin. So you get hives if you are like me and decide to harvest nettles without gloves.
Yeah. I've definitely been bitten by nettles before.
Yeah, it is a bite. So that creates a histamine response in the body, right? So that's an inflammatory response, a histamine response. But if you take nettles internally, it has that antihistamine action. So the medicine of the plant, like the cure, is in the plant itself, in the cause. It's like there's a quote that's like, the cure is in the poison.
Yes.
So that's really cool. But nettles, because of that amazing antihistamine response that they have, that's one of the best anti-allergy medicines, plant medicines, that you can take. The foraging season for nettles, you have to forage nettles, the leaves, before the plant flowers, because once the plant flowers, that changes the chemical composition of the leaves, which start producing these alkaloids that can be damaging for the kidneys.
Right.
So you want to harvest it before they flower, which is in about April, May, like early spring. A little bit different depending on what environment you're in. Like if you're further north, that's going to be later in the year, but nettles are ready to harvest at the time that spring allergies come into play. So linking that back to astrology, Aries is the sign that Mars rules over, which is around spring equinox, April, May, that season, right? So you have Aries season happening, spring allergies happening, you got nettles ready to forage. The energy in the cosmos is of Mars, which is that inflammatory response. We're all inflamed, and then we take nettles, and it all comes together.
Balances it out.
It all balances it out, you know? It's like we're meant to work with nettles during Aries season when the Mars energy is more potent and we're more inflamed because they're a Martian plant that then heals our inflammation.
Wowza. I mean, I feel like it's a lot to take in, but you also explained it so beautifully, especially for someone who does not know a lot about those connections. So thank you for that.
I do also have experience working with kindergarten students.
Okay, good.
Explaining things.
That's me, step by step, one at a time. I love that. I feel like it's so fascinating. And I also feel that when we start to look for those connections and those little like wisdoms of nature, they're everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
They're all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like my first thought is like, I'm sure you've seen before something that happens online all the time. They're like, oh, look at our thumb is the same as a tree stump. And like our ears are sacred geometry, the spiral. And like our lungs are the shapes of the trees and stuff like that. And I feel like there's so much more connection than we realize.
Yes.
And those little, I don't know, I feel like it's connected.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's so connected. And that's a perfect example of the macrocosm reflecting the microcosm and the as above, so below. Like the worlds in the Milky Way galaxy are reflective of the worlds in a snail shell. And
right.
So there's this concept in herbalism called the doctrine of signatures. So basically that means that when you have a plant or a herb or a vegetable that looks like the body part, that's usually what it has an affinity for.
Ah, yes.
So like kidney beans, how they look like kidneys, they're called kidney beans, right? They do support the kidneys. They are nourishing for our kidneys and our adrenal system. Carrots, if you were to cut like a carrot slice and how it's darker in the center of it, it kind of looks like an eye. Like it really actually looks like an eye. And carrots have vitamin A, which are good for the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that is also linked to the astrology of it as well, like within astroherbalism. So horsetail, for example, the structure of it is very similar to a spine. And it kind of has these nodes, these nodules that are almost like vertebrae of the plant. And there's silica in horsetail, which is supported to the musculoskeletal system. Mm-hmm. And because it supports the musculoskeletal system, which is ruled by Saturn, you would call horsetail a Saturnian plant. And that's how it links in.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like... One, I'm learning so much, but I feel like all the listeners are going to learn so much if they don't already know all of these amazing things. I feel like this isn't common knowledge. It's not common knowledge. And I mean that in the best way, that it's like, it's needed. I feel like people need to know about it, but it's maybe not as instinctual as it seems, because it seems really instinctual. Like, kidneys, kidney beans. It just makes sense, but we wouldn't necessarily put it together in our modern world.
In our modern world, yeah, and I think that's an important point. Like, I think it was common knowledge at mm-hmm. a certain point of time, and it is instinctual, and I think a lot of people remember or have that intuitive knowing from that time. But we've been sometimes it feels very purposefully distanced from that knowledge.
Right.
And I think a lot of unlearning needs to take place first before that learning of it or that remembering and reconnecting to plant healing.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I know in the past that you've mentioned to me that your connection with nature is very emotional, is a deeply emotional one. And I'm curious how this emotional bond influences your herbal practices and also maybe your interactions with your clients.
Yeah, it is very emotional because healing is very emotional, right? And when I'm thinking about the certain things in my life that I need healing for, whether they're physical or more emotional or both, that's just an emotional thing. So it's emotional, but I want to say like a multidimensional emotional, because in certain times, like that emotion is very light, it's very joyful, it's very playful. Whenever I'm working at markets and I tell people what I do, when they come to my booth, I say, yeah, this is all wild foraged. And they always say, oh, wow. And my like go-to line, because you gotta have lines when you're working at a market, is, yeah, this is just my excuse to play outside as an adult.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's also a lot more than that, but in a lot of ways it is that. It's my ability to play, and it's so healing for my inner child to just be able to go outside, get dirty, get my hands dirty, like run around in the woods and pick things and feel like a little kid witch just making things, you know. It feels like I'm playing some sort of game.
Yeah.
And that's emotional because I didn't actually really get to have that experience as a kid. I was a very serious kid. I like did a lot of homework and studying. I was a big nerd, and I didn't really play that much, it felt like. So getting to have that experience now is incredibly healing and emotional.
Emotional, yeah, definitely. I feel like I love the connection to the inner child piece, because as you said, like as we've already discussed, like everything is very connected. And I feel the more that we can do to support, like, from the ground up, and I say that as an analogy, from the ground up, literally,
yes.
From your infancy to adulthood, but also from nature, up into the cosmos. Like, I just feel that it's so integral. And it makes sense that we're doing that, and that's something that is nourishing for not only your inner child, but also just, like, the earth and the people that you support.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Amazing. I love that. So good. Do you have any personal rituals or practices that help you stay attuned to nature and also maintain the spiritual connection?
So honestly, like foraging is a ritual in itself, for sure. But other than that, like just going outside, what I've been really into lately is finding the magic in the mundane and the ceremony in the everyday. And sometimes, like when I first kind of started on my spiritual or like more witchy spiritual journey, I felt like I was very focused on like the big displays of ceremonies. So like doing like a bigger ritual or, you know, pouring salt on my windowsills, which like, you know, I still do, but
yeah,
you know, or like tarot cards and burning things. And yeah, like I do love doing those things, but I find it actually so incredible to notice how everything is a ceremony, like anything from washing my face and showering and how that feels like a baptism of washing off the energies of the day. Or cleansing myself to start the day. So it's the same thing within my like rituals around nature. Just anytime I'm outside and breathing the fresh air and just having that moment of presence to my experience and thanking my surroundings. It really comes down to gratitude. for me, I think. And that's been something I've been able to access a lot more because I am living out of the city now and I am in a little cabin in the woods. So I am able to wake up and look out my window and just see this incredible spruce forest and say, like, wow, like, I love you.
So grateful to be alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
That and, like, putting my feet in cold water. Mm. That's, like, a more specific thing.
Yeah. What does that do for you?
It is, like, a total nervous system reset. The whole body is definitely, like, more ideal. In the winter, that's really hard for me and, like, not something that I'm super willing to. I mean, I am willing to, like, maybe, like, learn and grow and increase my polar dip capacity. But, like, for now, the feet and the hands in cold water feel really good. So sometimes that is just stepping into the snow, like, outside of my front door. Sometimes on, like, warmer days when the river isn't frozen, like putting my feet directly into the river, hands as well sometimes. I don't know a ton about traditional Chinese medicine, but if you've ever had acupuncture or reflexology, like there's so many meridians in the feet and links to the entire organ body system. Like it's all the feet really hold it all, which makes sense. Like our feet are literally holding our entire weight every day, our whole body. And being in cold water just like really like resets it. And it feels like just a fun thing also. I put my feet in freezing cold water today. I did something today.
I feel like, I mean, obviously, like, feet and hands for sure, but I feel like I've been seeing it a lot more lately because people are really craving that reset of the nervous system, is, like, the full polar plunges and the ice baths and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially after, I don't know if you know of Wim Hof.
Yes.
Obviously, he's been doing it for many, many years, but I feel like it really connects your body in the same way, almost in the same way that like going just barefoot out in nature helps to like, I don't know, invigorate, but also ground you at the same time.
Totally. Definitely. Yeah, like gets your energy moving in two directions. Like you go downwards and upwards.
And
with the polar plunging thing, like I think that, like I do cold showers as well, like I'll take a hot shower and then like the last 30 seconds of my shower I'll just do cold water because I think it's especially good to get cold water on the back of the neck because that's where the vagus nerve is so that can be really resetting but it doesn't feel the same as being able to do it in nature when I'm doing it in my shower versus when I'm actually in the snow or in a river. Like it's a totally different experience. And I think that natural element to it does play a huge role in that, the healing power that cold water has.
Mm-hmm. Definitely makes a difference. Mm-hmm. It's nice that you're so close to the mountains.
Yeah, it is nice. I'm very lucky and grateful and privileged.
That's awesome. So just to wrap up, do you have any advice for our listeners that are maybe looking to incorporate more spirituality or more nature into their world?
I do, like, anytime I'm talking about foraging, like, I do really love to mention, the book Braiding Sweetgrass by Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer. She has a section in that book called The Honorable Harvest, and it's sort of just the general guidelines that I love to follow when I'm foraging, because it's really easy, like, for me to come in here, like, as a white person and a settler to, like, sit down and be like, yeah, like, I love nature, and I go out into the forest, and I forage, and I feel like a lot of people can hear that and be like, yeah, cool, I'm going to do the same thing, but what I haven't shared yet is the amount of intention and offering and thanks and gratitude that goes into that as well. Because as much as foraging and connection to the land is our birthright, like no matter what, as humans, no matter what culture you come from, no matter what your ancestry is, like we all have a connection to foraging. But that being said, again, like I am a guest on this landscape, and a lot of the medicines and plants that I work with have sacred significance to Indigenous folks, or they are plants that have been used by that specific culture for generations. And it's important for me to be in a reciprocal relationship with that land. So anytime I go out foraging, I like to make an offering. That's often tobacco, but not always. It can be anything. Like it can be, if I have water or tea with me in my backpack when I'm going out foraging, sometimes I'll pour a little bit on the land, or say a prayer or sing a song, or, you know, it's just going in with that thanks and intention from the start. And being sure to also like not take too much. And that's a huge thing, because the plants are for us. They want to support us. They want to use us. They want to use us. They want us to use them.
Yes.
But, you know, if we go out into a field and we take every single rose that we see, or if we take every stinging nettle plant that there is, then they're not going to grow back, right? So doing so in a really sustainable way, and being sure that you're leaving enough so that if someone else wants to come and forage, there's enough for them as well. If, you know, you're in bear country, rose hips are a great food source for bears as well. So leaving enough for them, leaving enough for the birds, leaving enough for all of the wildlife, and just, yeah, making sure that you're harvesting in that very sustainable and ethical and honorable way. And yeah, so just like really learning how to forage and how to take and how much to take, knowing that you're taking the right species as well, like being able to identify the plant so you're not taking something that's endangered that like looks the same, or something that's poisonous and not good for you to eat as medicine.
Right.
So just like really educating yourself, I guess, is the main thing there, is my main piece of advice. And there's so many people that love plants and love talking about it. So just finding someone in your community, in your neighborhood, who's a plant person, like any plant person that I've met will be like, yeah, I'll take you out into nature and show you the things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do really think that plants bring people together and are such allies for community building. So, yeah.
I love that so much. That makes me really happy. I feel like it segues perfectly into how people can reach you. How can people come out and see you, or like hear about what you have to offer? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so I am on Instagram. My business name is Saint Alchemy, so it's at saint.alchemy. I'm based in Bright Creek, so just outside of Calgary. And I am often doing markets in the Calgary, Cochrane, Bright Creek, Alberta, Southern Alberta region. And I haven't started it yet, but I am going to start offering some workshops and some in-person events to bring people out to my cabin to do group foraging, and making things and wildcrafting things all together. So that's going to be something that is coming soon in the spring, when foraging is more of a possibility and being outside is more of a possibility. And yeah, so if you look on my website, you can sign up for my newsletter to get all the information of when those will be offered.
Incredible. I will definitely be leaving Andy's contact information and social media in the podcast description, so make sure you check them out. It was such a pleasure to have you today.
Such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining the Witchcrafty Wellness Podcast. Andy's insights remind us of the beauty and wisdom found in the intertwining realms of spirituality and nature. If you have any questions or thoughts, please reach out to us on social media. Our information and Andy's are in the podcast description. Until next time, may your journey be guided by the whispers of the wind and the wisdom of the plants.